Potlatch, a program about Alaska Natives for Alaska Natives. This is Jeff Kennedy. On this week's program, we'll have a five-man discussion on how agencies designed to serve Alaska Natives do that job. In between segments of this discussion, we'll hear music by Malvina Reynolds, Buffy St. Marie, and John Ngaiek. Participating in the discussion held last June in Minto at the Bush Justice Conference were Jim Wilson of Kenai, Bill Tikosiak of Barrel, Bill Barr of Shishmaref, Nick Gregory of the Bristol Bay Area, and Jim Austin of Juneau.
Yeah, I'm Jim Wilson from Kenai. One of the things that's necessary, and I see it predominantly coming up in all agencies throughout the state, wherever I may pop up, when I see something that might affect me personally somewhere down the road, I make it a point to be there. And each time an agency walks in, an agency comes in, and decides to tell the Native people their problems. They come in and say, we have a budgetary problem, we have a personnel problem, we have this problem, we have that problem. That's all hogwash. The agency is there to hear the problem of the rural community. Their agency is there to solve the problem of that community, if it is any way possible. But this is not happening. The bureaucrat will subsequently come in, listen, write a eloquent report. After that point, the report goes to his peers or her peers or what it might be and say, here's a problem. But nobody is responding to the problems that have been brought up time and time again. The bureaucrat should come out here and he should spend not 3 days in Minto, because about 80% of the bureaucrats that come to Minto didn't spend their time in Minto. They lived in beautiful hotel rooms in Fairbanks and chartered back and forth. And the only thing that they did as they spent their day here in Minto, if a conference is called in the bush, one of the requirements is that they spend the time there where they spend it in a tent or in some native's house. That gives them the rapport with the native people, and then once that happens, then the trust will be started.
Jim, I agree with you. I'm Bill Tikosiak from the city of Barrow and the city administrator. I've spent some wonderful times here in Minto since I've been here, in talking with the native people and their concerns and their problems within the rural areas. And I've been fascinated with the type of answers that we have gotten from the levels of the various bureaucrats, particularly within the judicial system. I feel that these people are concerned about justice within the bush areas, but then they are also limited to an administration that at times does not listen. I am extremely irate by the fact that we have so many gubernatorial candidates that are here now, and it seems as though we only see these people during times when the rural people are going to an election. And these people, I think, at times are only concerned about getting the vote, and once the vote has been cast, then those people go back to Juneau and forget about the problems that are within the rural areas of Alaska. There has been some improvements in the communities within rural Alaska, but it's just not fast enough. We're trying to assimilate into a kind of society that at times is imposing, but also we're trying to assimilate with that culture and also try to maintain our cultural heritage. We're a very hospitable group of people. We're understanding, and sometimes we're just too patient with these people, and it has to get to a point where the voice of the rural regions has to be heard, not only in a conference like this, not only in Fairbanks, not only in Anchorage, but where the decisions are made, in Juneau.
I agree with both Bill and Jim here. I'm Bill Barr from Shishmaref, and I'm the village council president and the board member of our region, Bering Straits region. Seemed like these people or gubernatorial candidates, when they when election year comes around, they comes out to the village and tell us what our needs are, and then we tell them what we need. And then as soon as they get elected, they go, when they get elected and get down to Juneau, then they tell us they don't have no money to meet what our demands are. And so this will has to be, there has to be a line somewhere where we'll have to, where it has to be drawn. Now, we have a very serious problem up at northwestern Alaska on Seward Peninsula, on some of the villages of erosion. Now, for the last 6 months, we've been trying to work with federal or state agencies, both, and we get little response from the federal or from the state government, and then they come back, or when they get back down to Juneau, they start writing letters back to us. We just don't have the funds available. Now, during this election year, I'm pretty sure some of the most of these gubernatorial candidates for governor will be hitting our village, and we're going to show them just what the situation exists. And it's very, very critical and very, very crucial at this time that something has to be done, and someone will have to come up with the money to help us out in these matters.
Also, once again, if I might intrude, I'm Bill Tagosiak again. Now, there's another concern that I have in reference to any reception that we get from administrative decisions out of Juneau or out of other agencies within the state, in that since the passage of the Land Claims Bill, many agencies and perhaps the state administration would seem to think that those monies that have been given out are for the purpose of taking care of the community, when those monies, in fact, are a monetary return for the lands that have always been a part of the life of the people within the rural areas. That's a payment for the lands that we've had. It's not a payment for the problems that have existed. And this is a very strong misconception on the part of many agencies. If a person owns land and that land is taken away, then there should be a monetary return. And this is this was the purpose of the land claims legislation, to pay for lands. It's not to pay for the services that are needed within the communities.
I'm cutting my own way through my own day, and all I dare say is it's my own, I got my own seeds, got my own weeds, I got my own harvest that I've sown. I can tell you things I've done, and I could sing you songs I've sung, but there's one thing I can't give, for I and I alone can live. The years I've known and the life I've grown, got a way I'm going, and it's my way. I've got my own stake in my own game, I got my own name, and it's my way. I got my own kin, I got my own kin, I got my own sin, and it's my way. I got my own peace, I got my own wrath, I got my own path that only I can. Stop. life I've grown. But away I'm going, and it's my way. Don't be sighing, don't be crying. Your day will come, your day alone. Put down the story of what I've known. You're bound for glory, all of your own. Put down the story of what I say. You're bound for glory, all of your own one.
Jim Austin,
Jim. And generally speaking, I have previously mentioned administrative reservation as opposed to reservations in the South 48. Now, again, the state situation here, somebody makes decisions. And usually, whoever makes the decisions would pass it on to someone, and they would say, someone else is making the decision. Now, for instance, salmon fishing in the Juneau area has been closed down, decided upon by someone. However, the herring fishing in the Juneau area has been allowed to deplete the herrings to a point where we can't even get our own fish anymore or get our herring eggs like we normally do. So somebody made a decision. Now, to pinpoint that, who makes these decisions or recommendations? Now, I'm not too sure if it's the commissioner of Fish and Game. I'm not really sure he knows that much. That information has to come from somewhere. Now, the position they take, to me, is incorrect. The position they take is on salmon. We're talking about salmon. We've got to save salmon, they keep saying. But yet we're allowing the Japanese and the Russians and everyone else to deplete our fisheries. Yet, locally here, we are the ones that suffer. Then they come up with the word subsistence. Now, the very word itself is subsistence, barely surviving, so to speak. So every legislation that passes or recommendations that come out talks about subsistence of the village. To me, a subsistence would be an admittance to living off very bare necessities of the land. Now, we are being legislated into subsistence. We never had to subsist previously. It was our livelihood. Now, they're saying if you work for a day salary or for a monthly salary and so on, you're working for a livelihood. But if you do your traditional work, you do your hunting and fishing, you're subsisting. Now, I think that's a discriminatory language in my mind, and we've been legislated into a position whereby we do not hunt and fish in our traditional grounds as we used to. Thank you.
I'm Nick Gregory, representing these 29 villages in Bristol Bay. What gripes me is we have these people come up from Washington, D.C. They'll come up and they'll ask some other white person, what is the problem here? And he'll give them his version of it. And in many cases, they'll spend two or three hours, never a day. Then they go back to Washington, D.C. or Juneau, and they make these policies, these laws, and we have to go by them. Well, they don't do much good to help these villages. The promises, we've had them, many of them, they're hardly materialized. Hardly any of these promises materialize.
Well, one of the things that I was earlier saying, Nick, is that the fact that the bureaucrat, in his paranoia about continually holding that job at $26,000 or $30,000 a year, has to come out here to Bush, Alaska, has to solve the problem in Juneau, and that's what he's hired for.
But again, talking about that, when they say solving the problem means getting a bigger appropriation. Now, the problem remains, but they only increase that same problem with a bigger appropriation. So they do not effect a change of policy or the change of legislation. I think the key would be to change the policy and legislation instead of getting bigger and bigger appropriations to perpetuate the same old problem on a bigger scale.
Well, you know, perpetuating the problem is really the thing. For instance, I'll give you a good example of perpetuating a problem. Is that there's a state agency in Anchorage that was the state OEO. All of a sudden it become, you know, community and regional affairs. And it has, you know, the rural development agency. Each one of these, it started with the passage of an act by Congress in 1906 when they said in Alaska, your natives can get 160 acres. That's not, all they want to do is buy us off. Well, some of us got 160 acres, but then some of us did learn, you know, to continue the fight. But yet, we're still back down to the same basic problem. We're still back to the same basic problem that the agency-minded person comes out here, and as soon as the conversation gets difficult, He is educated enough to where he can turn the conversation bass-ackwards, and pretty soon he's telling the native, here's my problem. That isn't what we want. He's out here to listen to this particular problem total. We don't want to hear this problem.
Everybody thinks my head's full of nothing, wants to put his special stuff in, fill a space with candy wrappers, keep out sex and revolution, but there's no hole in my head. Too bad. Call me a dupe of this and the other, call me a puppet on a string. They don't know my head's full of me and that I am my own special thing, and there's no hole in my head.
Too bad.
I've lived since early childhood, figuring out what's going on. I know what hurts, I know what's easy, when to stand and when to run, and there's no hole in my head to bend. So please stop shouting in my ear, there's something I want to listen to. There's a kind of bird song up somewhere. There's feet walking the way I mean to go, and there's no hole in my head to bend. Everybody thinks my head's full of nothing, wants to put his special stuff in, fill a space with candy wrappers, keep out sex and revolution, but there's no hole in my head. Too bad.
Dr. Gosiak again. I become very sensitive to anything that has to deal with oil impact legislation. I know the oil impact legislation and the dealings that the state has had with the oil companies has generated a considerable amount of revenues for the state. And all these revenues that the state has gotten from the oil companies have come from lands where the original native people have lived since time immemorial. Now, I become very sensitive in that respect because I've traveled some in other countries, and I don't think that the state has pumped in enough money to try to improve rural communities through the monies that the state has received through their dealings with the oil companies. I'm talking of other nations, other countries. Now, here in Alaska, we're only receiving a small percentage of the royalties, whereas in other countries where oil companies go that come from the United States spend so much money to pump out oil for the United States from those countries. And the American people in many instances have made wealthy people out of people outside the United States that aren't United States citizens and have made us just a very low minority controlled group.
Well, one other point on that. My name is Jim Austin. One other point on that would be the oil impact legislation, as I sense it, even though I have never read it, would mean that we are legislating bills to accommodate the incoming population to work on a pipeline instead of working for us. They're passing legislation to protect these people rather than doing something for the rural areas and the villages that will be impacted by it. I doubt if there is anything to alleviate the
Jim Wilson. Jim, I agree with you. I'll summarize this way. That the legislation or the legislators in the Bush, Alaska, who make decisions supposedly in our behalf, have so much going against them as legislators from Anchorage and Fairbanks because of the population in Juneau, that, you know, we're basically fighting almost a losing battle. When they created their Bush caucus 3 years ago, that helped a little. But it's still not adequate. If the if this problem can be solved, if the urbanite can understand the rural citizen, then perhaps some of these people in these areas can vote for good legislation.
But the urbanites only understand the money economy that exists. Now, their economy, like for instance, let's take Anchorage area. There is no natural resources in Anchorage. Every resource that comes in to Anchorage, like milk or meat or whatever, comes from someplace. Whereas in the rural areas, it doesn't have to. So they use the criteria that the human are resources too, so they must have more votes. And the people in Anchorage are legislating bills that affect the rural areas, and for their own benefit and not for the people themselves.
You've been listening to a discussion on the performance of agencies designed to serve Alaska Natives. Participating in this discussion, Nick Gregory of Bristol Bay, Bill Tikosiak of Barrow, Jim Austin from Juneau, Jim Wilson from Kenai, and Bill Barr from Shishmaref. We heard music from Alvina Reynolds, John Ongayak, and Buffy St. Marie. This is Jeff Kennedy. Thank you for listening.
Just on the radio, recognize you, Jeff Kennedy, They can hear me too.
Potlatch, produced in the studios of KUAC in College in cooperation with KTOO Juneau, KLTZ Kotzebue, and KYUK Bethel, under Title I of the Higher Education Act.